Hey, who made some resolutions for this year? Nobody? Who made a resolution to not make a resolution? That's a good boundary. That's a good boundary. Yeah, resolutions are boundaries. We tend to just move those, though. We're gung-ho when we first plant it, and then we spend a week digging it up and throwing it away. But it was the idea. So we're going to be talking about the big picture today, and we're going to be talking again about some boundaries, because boundaries are the walls that enable us to, one, move in the direction we want to move and keep us safe and calm in a world that is full of anxiety and overwhelms us. And we're complex. Everything around us is complex. So having a road to travel, which is what boundaries do, keeps us in the right direction. Your life is defined by the boundaries you set. And I'm going to be talking about the big picture. And I believe that's part of what God wants us to do is in our personal lives this year and as the church is stay focused on the big picture, which really comes down to a path. Staying on the path within the boundaries that are healthy for us and are healthy for others. Your life is defined by the boundaries you set and not how you define yourself. Your boundaries define you. They separate us. Boundaries separate us from others. Boundaries demonstrate what I believe and what I don't believe. I can say anything I want to say, but the way I travel demonstrates what I'm really about. Boundary is not what I say, it's what I allow in my life or not allow in my life. For example, displaying the boundary of calm when you have been disrespected is really almost like a supernatural power. In fact, it is a supernatural power. In 1 Peter 2:23, Jesus is defined by how he acted in a particular situation that Peter was an eyewitness to. Peter saw him from a distance under the most intense time of his life, under the most stress-filled time of his life when he is being prepared to be martyred. And they are heaving insults at him, beating him down, and doing all these things. And Peter says, this is the boundary he operated in. In 2 Peter 2:23, it says, when they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. He didn't do anything. He remained calm and directed toward his purpose. When he suffered, he made no threats. Didn't say I was going to get you back. He didn't say anything about revenge. Instead, he had a boundary in there. He entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He said, I know who I trust, and I will lean on that. That will be the stopping point of me and the beginning of his Father. I trust him. I stay on the purpose. I mentor some people, and I was meeting with one of them the other day, and God's been blowing up his life in beautiful ways, and everything about his life has been an increase. And he said to me, Joe, what do I need to do to stay connected to God? What do I need to do? And I thought for a moment, because, you know, there's the regular things. Okay, pray, study the word, you know, stay in fellowship. I mean, there are those dynamics. But there was something deeper in him, and I got a little clarity, and I said, here's the deal. Stay true to your purpose. Stay true to your purpose. Why? Our purpose or destination or the direction I'm heading keeps me focused. When I lose that and I get immersed in the complexity, in the, as Chris would say, the train wrecks of life. The people, places, and things, and I'm in involved and really backslide into the immediacy of things, I'm all over the place. But when I stay true to my purpose, and that's why it's important for us to have purpose. Every man I know that struggles deeply in direction and is moving and messes up a lot and all this is, it's mainly because they don't know what they're supposed to be doing. When a man has purpose, I follow Jesus no matter what. I follow him when it's going well. I follow him when it's going horrible. I follow him when it's a plus. I follow him when my life's in a minus. I follow him when I'm lonely. You know, what is, the question I would ask you is, what boundary is it that you would stop following God? Is there a point that, if this happens, I could never follow God? If God allowed this in my life, I would never follow God again. That's a boundary I have relationally with God and myself, and that boundary is destructive. Because I am putting a limit on my call. If you belong to the Lord Jesus, you are committed to him no matter what. I made another commitment in my life, a boundary to my wife. I am committed to her. I am committed to her. We made a boundary in our relationship early on. And one of those boundaries was, if you ever want to cheat on me, consider me friend enough that you would tell me. That way I can release you. You can release me. If we have anything, share that with me. That's a boundary. Don't let me find out by some other means. We have a relationship. Honor that. And we've made that a boundary in our lives. We made it a boundary in our lives that we'd be together for the rest of our lives, in the good times and the bad times. You know, when I found purpose in, when I got sober and found Jesus and found purpose in the direction of life, I wanted to help guys like me. And that has been my purpose. You know, I have other purposes. I'm married. I got kids. I got grandkids. I got other things. I got church I deal with. I have other purposes, but following God and whatever he maneuvers in that is, he's the shot caller. You know, when we talk about in scripture, dying to yourself, that's, dying to yourself is simply this. Jesus gets to call the shots. He's the shot caller. And if he calls them one way, then he calls them that way. Those are boundaries. Boundaries are behaviors relationally of what I allow others to do in my life and which behaviors I don't allow them to do in my life. Those are called relational boundaries. For an example, you don't get to call me horrible names and be in my life. You don't get to do that. That's a boundary. And in the same token, I don't get to call you horrible names. We have this thing with the boys that we don't call names in this family. Do they call names? You betcha they do. Do I call them names in my head? Oh, yeah. But not out loud. Why? I've learned to at least control that. We don't get to demean their value as a human being. I don't care how mad I am. What they do. And we've also established that as a boundary. And on the other side of that boundary, we've established, really, Teresa's established that because she's brilliant at these things. She established, we give them kindness bucks. Every kindness, little piece of, you know, construction paper, kindness dollar, which is actually 50 cents. They get 50 cents when they do, you know, and they add it up. One of them has like 170 of them. So they're going to find out my boundary is I don't pay debts. And I'll make them, but I ain't paying them. No, just kidding. But that's a boundary. When we catch them doing good, we give them a kindness buck or five of them. You know, Teresa will go to give them five. I'm going, give me three's good. They weren't that kind. But when they do things with from their heart that are good, we reward that. We think that's important to reward good behavior, not only address bad behavior. And so there's these dynamics that we all set in our lives. You know, an example of a bad boundary is, I don't know if you guys have ever had a friend or someone that you dealt with that they tell you about this person they're in relationship with, and it's not good. It is not good. This person has broke their heart in some way. And you're there for them, and they go right back to them. And then they come back to you, complaining to you about the same problems. That's a bad boundary. Your boundary's moving all over the place. That's not healthy for you. It's not healthy for them. What or who I let in, and what or who I keep out, and what I take responsibility for, and what I don't take responsibility for, set the course for my life. I remember in my younger days, especially in ministry, I was really gung-ho to take responsibility for your actions. And I wanted you to do things my way because I wanted to help you. I have since grown to realize that's not my responsibility. What I have learned is I'm responsible to you. I'm responsible to be kind and gracious and honest and real. I'm responsible to do that, but I'm not responsible for you. You get to be your own person. I give you that honor. And so if you don't want anything I have, I get it. I understand. It's okay. You don't have to have it. You get to live your life. And that's a noble thing. That enables us to love somebody where they're at without them having to perform in a way that you totally approve of. God loves us. He's never going to okay bad behavior, but he can separate us from the behavior. He will not engage in it, and he will confront it, but you get that choice because he gave you that. Here's a humorous boundary that is actually pretty destructive, yet I've encountered it many, many times. And this boundary is for those, people believe they're setting it for themselves. Have you ever had a friend, or perhaps it's you, that has a friendship, but you set a boundary on that friendship? And the boundary is this: I'm a burden to them. And they dread hearing from me. So then I stop talking to them to ease the load of them having to deal with me. You ever heard of anybody doing something like that? They're too busy. And what's that end up doing? That ruins the relationship. In fact, that person never set the boundary. We set it for them. They didn't have to set it. I destroyed the relationship. Then I wonder, why am I isolated? Why am I alone? Well, you set boundaries that keep you in that position. It's bad thinking in your mind to think you're a burden to a friend. Now, if the friend's honest, they might need to set a boundary and go, hey, man, I don't want to keep hearing the same old, same old. You want to do something about it, cool. If not, we can still be friends, but we don't have to keep running around that merry-go-round. That's your circus. Boundaries keep us healthy and keep our relationships healthy, or they are destructive to us and destructive to others. Listen to this boundary God has set for us. Scripture tells us that God in his design of humans put something deep in the core of our being. And that's the big picture. He put a boundary in us that is his boundary, but it's way bigger than our boundary. See, you and I are limited by the boundary of space. We live in the natural. We live in this environment. It has a beginning and an end. We are all marching towards old age. And at some point, we will leave this. But God has put something inside of us that has a hunger, and it'll be for two things. The first one is this. Yet God has made everything beautiful, tells us in Ecclesiastes 3:11, for its own time. Another version says, in its own time. God has put in us a desire for things to be beautiful. Beautiful has the idea of when you see something beautiful, it's attractive to you. It's inviting. When you go to a real fancy restaurant, I don't know if you've ever noticed this, they do all this work on the plate to make it look nice. But you know what I notice? Ain't much food on it. But they want it to be inviting to you. They want it to be beautiful. Well, God says he has made everything beautiful in its time. The problem is you and I are limited in our time. So God's timing extends way beyond this dimension. And he says, according to him, all things will work out to be beautiful at a point in time. There is a destination for it. So it's in us. It's in us. Oh, I wish this relationship was at this level. I wish this thing was here. I wish that, you know, there's that dynamic. Like to me right now, my bed is beautiful. 4 days out of seven, when I wake up, I longingly look at it and go, I can't wait to get back here. Does anybody else do that? It's a beautiful thing. When I was younger, it was torment. Now 9 o'clock is, my goodness! It's late. I don't know where I was going with that. Everything. So God has stated that he will make everything beautiful outside of this time. Somewhere down the line. So then he tells us this right after that. See, you and I have we lack the capacity, we lack the time, we lack the capability to make all things beautiful. But God doesn't. He says this in the second part of that verse. He has planted eternity in the human heart. He has said he will make everything beautiful in a time, but he's also planted in our heart this idea that there is life after life. There is something beyond here. And then he tells us multiple times in scripture, keep your eyes toward that. Keep your eyes toward that because it will balance you in the time frame we live in, the natural. In fact, anthropologists have not found any place throughout time, throughout any culture, that there is not a belief in the afterlife. They've never found any people group that doesn't have that because God has placed it in us. And that's a boundary that God wants us to know that he has that we do not possess. That's why we have to have faith to trust that. And as I trust that and I gear my life towards walking that way, it keeps me balanced in this life. Because this life, like Chris said, has got a lot of train wrecks. He says he has placed it inside of our hearts, but even so, people cannot see. We cannot comprehend the whole scope. Oh, the boundary. The whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. We are limited in our boundaries to see God's boundaries from beginning to end. And eternity encompasses time. I've heard it taught that, you know, heaven doesn't have time, that eternity doesn't have time. It sure does have time. Absolutely it has time. It has never-ending time. We cannot grasp that. We can't grasp. One of the big discussions I've had with my boys is, how can God always be? Every time we talk about that, one of them always goes, well, when did he start? I said, it's a simple principle. He didn't start. Nah. Don't buy it. Because why? We can't grasp it. It's beyond our ability. But when we can get to the place of trusting that I don't know and he does, and I'm heading in that direction to see the beauty of it all. When we continue next week, I'm going to talk a little bit about heaven. But one of the things I can share with you right now is, you know, there's the spectrum of color is massive. And that our eyes only perceive a little bit of the color that is out there. Did you know that? I didn't know that. So what we think of as beautiful is only seeing a crack through a door of the color that's there. Not to mention the sounds. Our ears, you know, we have pets. So dogs hear things at certain frequencies. You and I live within frequency range with our hearing. We only hear a small amount of all the sounds that are being made. I didn't even know this. Trees communicate through roots. They have an ability to communicate to each other. They've done all these studies where when a tree is being chopped down, especially in a group of the same type of genus trees, when it's being chopped down, the other trees know something's going on. That's not good. That's crazy stuff. Our ability to understand even the boundary of time and space we live in is limited. And then when God says, I can make everything beautiful, it will work out in a way that you can't grasp the scope of now. But we trust that. See, that keeps us focused. I don't understand, because there's so many things that aren't beautiful in this world. And there's also things that are good. So, everything is appointed its time on God's timeline. It has been placed in our hearts that we are to live eternally, that there is life after life. So we must think and incorporate that into the boundaries of our life. There is more going on than I can grasp. And it is heading in the direction God wants it to. And it will work out the way God wants it to work out. This is the same path all the greats in Scripture took. They're in the same boat we are in, except they traveled this way before us. The longer they kept their hearts and minds on the above, the less they were governed by the natural. See, I'm going to be governed by one of two things. I'm going to be governed by me and the natural, or I'm going to be governed by God and the supernatural. I'm going to be governed by something. The more they became aware as they traveled that I really am here for a season. And I really am here for a reason. There's a purpose why I'm here. The great joy in life is finding out what is that purpose. And there's usually multiple purposes to that. And as we travel, we will begin to grasp and continue to grasp the great mindset that God's great heroes had. In Hebrews 11:13, after the list of, you know, these people, because what in our mindset, we think success is something. We live in the natural world and success can mean different things to different people. But we don't fully grasp oftentimes what success looks like to God. And Hebrews 11 says, the world did not deserve these people. And then it tells us a little bit about them. They were cut in half. They were pulled apart by horses. They suffered tremendously. And in the midst of it all, they didn't waver in their faith. That means they suffered. How many know that suffering is part of walking with God? How many would have voted for that's a good move? That's a plus. Because in the boundaries of this world, suffering is looked at as a bad thing. In God's kingdom, it's looked at as necessary. It's what changes us. It's what trains us. It says this in verse 13, all these people, the list they named, died still believing what God had promised them. They believed in the eternity. They believed that God would make things right. They had other promises that the Holy Spirit would speak to them, the prophets and all this other stuff. They had all this knowledge, but they didn't experience it. They suffered in ways. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it all from a distance and they welcomed it. They agreed that they were foreigners and nomads here on earth. They agreed with what God said about that. They believed the promises and the fulfillment of them would be in the future. I was sharing with someone the other day about the word God gave me, and I've shared it with some of you before, years ago, 30-something years ago, when I was in church and I was at that place of hungering. I needed to hear something from God. I just needed to hear something from God. And we had this evangelist come in, and he called up people at the end of service, and he was speaking, you know, prophetic words into their lives. And I got out of my pew. Well, actually, there were chairs, and I got out of my chair, and wherever this guy walked, I was walking right in front of him. Because I needed a word. I needed something from God that day. I was in a, you know, rough place. God, what is going on? And I followed the door, and he didn't say nothing to me. And in my mentality, I go walking back to my seat after, you know, he starts closing the thing down, and it, you know, and I don't know about you guys, but I sometimes had that victim and pity Joe, poor Joe. Figures. You know, so I go sit down in my seat, you know, and this lady comes up to me as we're all starting to file out, and she comes up to me and she says, hey, I don't know you, and I didn't know her. She goes, but God gave me a word for you. I said, okay. And she goes, you're going to have a powerful ministry. I said, all right. All right. Who are you again? You weren't that homeless lady that was at the corner. So, you know, that we go home and I tell Therese, I told you, I think, yeah. And then the next week, we're at church again and I'm sitting in my designated seat like all you have. If you're new here, you haven't had one yet, but you will. And you will be bummed when someone's sitting in it. Because don't they know it's your seat? And so anyways, I'm sitting in my usual seat, Teresa and I, and after church, this dude comes over to me. And he says the exact same thing. He says, I don't know you. And I didn't know him. And he goes, God told me to tell you something. And I said, okay. And he said, you'll have a powerful ministry. And it was like, all right. Now, in my mind, powerful ministry is I'll be Joe Warren, like Rick Warren. In my idea, because I'm in the natural, and I'm thinking success like anybody else thinks success. Big, powerful, full of power. I will be Benny Hinning people. I will be amazing. And God will get the glory. because I'm humble that way. But I had all these visions of grandeur, and you guys don't have these, but I did. And then God, you know, put me in the mission with down and outers. And yeah, I go, oh, that's my ministry. And you know, and it ain't changed that much. Every now and then he'll dribble a rich person in, but other than that, if you're hurting, have we got a church for you? It's awesome. But I had all these visions because I based the way God did things on the way it's in the natural. We just tend to do that. And over time, God had to show me whatever his plan is. Joe, if I don't ever do anything with you, are you still going to follow me? If I disappoint you in this way, if I take your children, are you still going to follow me? What is the boundary here, Joe? What's your boundary between following me? The way you picture it? Or do I get to call the shots? And I told God, why don't we both get to call it? But he said, what am I going to do? You know, he's the one. He sets the course. And these people, and I had to get to the same place these guys got to, where it says they agreed that they were foreigners and nomads here on earth. I am here for a season, and my goal is to leave this place, and that's purpose, better than what I found it. And by this place, I don't mean the world. I mean the place God has me. What God's doing in my life, starting with my life. It needs to be better than it was. Starting with the people that God brings into my life. My marriage needs to be better than it was. I'm a student of my marriage. I work on my marriage. I'm a far better parent now than I was when I had my kids. I understand things that I didn't understand back then. You know, and I apply it, and I practice listening. I practice being present. And I, you know what? That's a boundary that I've set in my life, but it's a boundary that's hard. You know, this isn't present. Uh-huh. Yeah. That's not present. Putting the phone down sometimes is, you know, how many know that? Stopping and being there is a boundary, and then enforcing that boundary is a big deal. And so we get to the place in our journey with God, and that's the big picture, is what it says in verse 16 of that same, 14 of that same chapter, Hebrews 11. Obviously, it says, obviously. Why? Because your boundaries define you by your behavior. He says, obviously, people that have lived like these people, because we need those examples in our lives, had their eyes focused on something different than just now. Just what's the latest train wreck happening? What's the latest emotional thing going on in my life? What's the latest tribulation I'm dealing with? And those are all real things. But their focus, which enables them to stay balanced in it and keep on keeping on, is in a different place. He says, obviously, people who say such things are looking forward to this destination that they're heading towards. So now that sets a boundary for them in the direction of my eyes, in the direction of my life. That's what becomes most important. He says they are looking forward to a country they can call their own. Oh, a country. I live in this country, but there's another country where I will be home at, where it will fit me and it'll be beautiful. And I will see what I don't see and I'll understand what I don't understand. I'm looking forward to that. And he says this, they can call their own. You know, as we're going to look at next week, the Bible speaks of heaven 404 times. And every time the location is mentioned, it's in human terms. It's in earthly terms. It's in terms we can understand. Oh, there's this massive place called a country that I will absolutely fit in to the place that it's my own. I belong. I belong. And then he says this, if they had longed for the country they had come from, they could have gone back. You know what that's called? Spiritual relapse. That's a relapse. We are to live here, focused there. 1 foot there, 1 foot here. But if I lose track of that, I relapse into this world as my home. And then I get all caught up in everything in this world as if it has the final say. That's a relapse. I stop going forward, and if I go back. Now, we know where we'd have lots of recovery here. We know that relapse is always moving our eyes from there's a forward movement that stalls us. And we don't know what to do, and we oftentimes don't ask for help, and we don't know what how to manage it, and we step back into what we were. Well, in the spiritual sense, the same thing happens. I'm a child of God. I have a country I'm heading towards. In fact, he's going to tell us in a moment that we also have a city in there that we belong to. There's a location in the country that fits me. But if I get my eyes off of that, I step back into this. And this becomes everything. Then I am what again? Full of anxiety, overwhelmed, don't understand. I'm all in this world again. And then God, in his grace, calls us back. He says, listen, but they were looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland, a heavenly homeland, our homeland. That is why God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Oh, not only is it a massive land, it has a city in it. And in John 14, it tells us, that there's a home in this city that is being prepared for us in our Father's house. I will have a place of rest. I will have a place I belong. I will see beauty in ways I've never seen it. I will know God in ways I don't understand him yet. But I am progressively moving towards that. He says, this home will be familiar to us, yet different, absolutely amazing. It will be of a physical nature, but a spiritual physical nature. It'll be different, but similar. It will fit us. And this is the amazing part. In Hebrews 11:39, it says this, all these people, the ones that are mentioned earlier, and all God's kids in Scripture, and all God's kids who have gone before us to this place. All these people earned a good reputation because of their faith. They left here with a good reputation. They left here being a blessing and not a curse. They left here making it a little better than it was. They added value. He says, all these people earned a good reputation because of their faith, yet none of them received all that God has promised. They left this place still with holes. Things, it'll never be all together. You'll never have your life all together. You'll never have all the things you've ever wanted. You'll have some of them, and you'll have disappointments and all kinds. You'll have the fullness of life, which is not complete. And it says this. For God had something better in mind for us, so that they would not reach perfection without us. All those who have gone before us have not entered into the fullness. Perfection means wholeness that God has for them up there. You know why? All God's kids ain't there yet. We're not there yet, so they can't enter into the fullness. The whole fam ain't together. Now, down here, sometimes the whole fam's getting together. That's a problem. Up there, they're waiting, and we'll look more at this too. They're waiting for us. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of Christmas when I was a kid. In our house, Christmas morning, there were eight kids, and there would be eight piles of toys. And the hallway, there was a hallway with three bedrooms and then my mom and dad's bedroom at the end. And the door would be closed from the hallway into the living room. And eight kids, some are getting up at like 5. Some are getting up at like 4. And then some of us are sleeping in, and then mom and dad, they're, you know, dragging the caboose. They're at the end gate. But nobody could go into the fullness of Christmas till everybody was up. And then mom and dad would lead us into Christmas morning. And they'd immediately show us our, you know, our piles. And then we'd immediately gander ours. And like all good families, we'd look and see what everybody else got. Just make sure the numbers were even. And the stuff was, you know, cool. And so that's how I envision what's going on there. They're actively involved in our lives, but the fullness of what God has won't be until all of God's kids are there. That's an amazing thing. And so, tells us, I got a couple more minutes, so I'll share a little bit more. So what do we need? We need boundaries in our lives to finish the race well. To finish it well. See, if you're a child of God, you're going to finish the race. He has promised. When you got born again, He gave you the Holy Spirit. And Ephesians tells us that Holy Spirit is the guarantee we are getting home. He will get us home. Paul says some of us will get in like escaping fire. Woo! Hey! You know, and then some of us will have some beautiful riches with us because we lived a life that added value. Some of us were lucky we burned down everything behind us. But nonetheless, we're that kid. God's promises are His promises. But you want to finish well. And in order to finish well, we have to have boundaries. We have to be looking at the direction we need to go. We have to establish healthy boundaries for us. We have to do things that are good for us and are a blessing to others. We have to minimize our damage. And we have to trust God with a faith that though I don't receive all I want and it's not all beautiful, I still carry on. We learn to carry burdens we don't want to carry, but nonetheless, they've been given to us. I don't have to carry yours. You don't have to carry mine, but you have to carry what you've been given, and I have to carry what I've been given. And I've shared it with you. The big picture is carry it well. Keep walking the walk towards our destiny. 1 foot there, 1 foot here. And that 1 foot in the direction I should go makes me valuable in this world. Because the people that don't have it, they are full of anxiety and running around. Their best hope is for someone to come along and fix it all. And that's what their hope is. If somebody got to get in here and fix it. It ain't ever going to be fixed. Till he fixes it and makes all things beautiful. And that's the end game. The end game is you win. All the pain will be removed. There will be a time when I will never shed a tear again. There's going to be a time when that I'll never have to. I'll never have to. There'll be a time when there'll be no more pain, no more sorrow. The old ways. I won't sin anymore. I won't be ashamed of what, you know. I won't carry any shame anymore. I won't hurt anybody. I won't have any desire for selfishness. Just want to, we'll be the beautiful thing that's deep inside of us. It'll manifest. God put it there. And when God puts something in your heart, that is the confirmation that the destination's there. Well, why would God do it? You know, all good things come from God. And some of you have had good things that have been placed in your heart that you have not received yet. But you can hold on to this truth. That thing, that good thing which comes from God because he gives us good things, is the confirmation that at some point the destination will reach that. And it will be beautiful. But you're not going to get it all this side. And that's okay. Going back to the powerful ministry, you know what I've learned? Oh, as I've gotten older, most likely my powerful ministry will come through other people that I've had the honor and privilege to input to a degree. And they will go beyond what I've been able to do. They will have capabilities and capacity that I do not possess. And they will ride on my shoulders. And they will go farther. And that's a good thing. Oh, okay. I can live with that. So what God has spoken to me, I know isn't all going to take place in my life. Why? Because it didn't take place in any of those guys' life or any of those ladies' life. But lots of good things will take place that I get to be a blessing, and I'm good with that. I'm good with that. And I really am good with that. And sometimes it just takes age and experience to bring us to that place that, oh, it's not all going to be given. It's not all going to be had. So with that, I can be thankful in all things. That's what Paul says. That's what he learned, he said, to be thankful in all things. That means when I'm carrying things that I don't want to have to carry, whatever those things are, I still have other things that I can be thankful for. And when I am thankful in those other things, it balances me out in the things that I'd have to carry that I don't want to carry. And so I then have a foot in each world, and now I become a blessing because those out there will see, why do you act differently when you're carrying the same kind of pain? How can you forgive someone that murders your daughter? How do you forgive that? I forgive it because that's what I've been told to do. And I know that man was a broken man. And like I shared with you guys before, given the right circumstances, given the right junk in my life, I'm fully capable of doing something like that. Why? Because I'm a human being. And the noblest thing a human being can do, I can do too. And the most messed up a human being thing they can do, I can do too. I'm not above them. I'm not below them. I'm one of them. And so are you. So my goal then is to walk the walk and to live the life God's allowed me to live in all the beauty and all the not so beautiful. And when I'm done, I want to be able to know that I've been an asset to the kingdom of God. Not just a child of God, but an asset to the kingdom. That my life counted for good. That I, you know, because there was a chunk of my life that I was a curse. I was not a blessing. And I want to be a blessing. I want to be a blessing to my wife. I want to be a blessing to my grandkids. I want to be a blessing to you guys. I just want to be a blessing. And it's, you know what? And there's great reward in that. We get to be, and God, and I'm looking forward to that country. I'm looking forward to that city. I'm looking forward to that house. But more than any of that, I'm looking forward to seeing my kids again. I'm looking forward to seeing Jesus. I'm looking forward to seeing mom. And we'll talk more about that. Grandma and my grandpa and my dad. And all my friends that have died, some in not good ways and some in other ways, but they had Jesus. I'm looking forward to that. That's even more precious to me. It's more precious. So if they're precious when they're gone, man, I better treat the people around me that are walking with me like they're precious too. And you know what? I need to treat myself like I'm precious too, because you're precious. The God of all creation called you to be His. That's a good thing. Keep that boundary nice. Lean on that boundary. Amen? Amen. All right, so as we get ready to go into the rest of this year, it's going to be an adventure. It's going to be a jungle cruise. Let me pray for you. Lord, I just thank you for every man and woman in this place, Lord God. You know everything about them. You know what's going on in their heart of hearts. You know what's going on in their lives. I pray your spirit will grow in them this year in such a way that their eyes will be firmly fixed on the country they belong to, in the city that has been built for them, in the house that Jesus himself is putting together. And I thank you, Lord, that that place, that country, that city, that house is populated with all your kids that have gone before who are waiting for us so that they can finally be the families together. All the families together. What a great day that'll be. What an amazing event. So as I travel the road, the journey home, Lord God, make my life here a blessing this year, so that we can draw other kids that don't even know they have a home in a country, in a city outside of here, that they can be, see the beauty that we see, and they will become and enter into your family also. So Lord God, keep our eyes open. And Lord, let us be a blessing to those you have placed in our lives as they live. And everyone who agrees, say amen. 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 God bless you guys. See you later.